2 weeks ago, I had to take my brother to Loudoun Hospital for his cataract surgery. So, as I was waiting in the waiting room, as my priestly self, enjoying my book, there was a lady across from me. Obviously, I was a target for conversation. And so, she asked me the normal questions. Are you a priest? Where's your church? And so on and so forth. And I found out that she identified herself as a Christian but did not belong to any particular church and so on. So the next part of the conversation, she said, do you believe in prophecy? I said, of course I believe in prophecy because sacred scripture has all kinds of prophecies. Then she said, well, what about the end of time? Do you think it's happening now? So thinking of our passages today even, I thought, well, sure, our Lord talked about how there would be natural disasters. We've had hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, the firestorms in California, where there'd be persecution, disease, wars, and so on. But the key is, we don't know when. And I said to her, the real point of all of this is to always be ready. After all, some nutcase could fly a plane into us right now, or we could have a car accident, and this could be the end of the world for us. So the key is to always be ready. But that doesn't mean, that's the end of that conversation, but that doesn't mean that we live in fear, thinking, oh, I have to be ready because it might be the last day of my life. No, we live in love, love with Jesus. That's what life is about. When we look at our lives, yes, we were given physical life by our parents, but we were given a new spiritual life beginning with our baptism. In baptism, God cleansed us from sin, original sin and personal sin, if we had that, and infused into our souls sanctifying grace, that presence of the life and love of the Holy Trinity. It's like God breathed this new life into us. We were reborn as a child of God. We were made a member of the church. In our life journey, spiritually, we've been nourished by the sacraments. How beautiful it is to know at this Mass, we share in the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. If we have sinned, we have the sacrament of penance. We have the instructions of life, sacred scripture, the teachings of our church. So we have a spiritual life that helps us live each day in the love of God. And how wonderful that is. This is why each day it's also important to take time to pray, to call to mind the presence of the Lord, so that each day we live in that presence. And although looking at our psalm especially, our life journey beginning at that baptism is like walking with Jesus the Good Shepherd. He extends his hand, we grab his, and we walk with him each day. Some days we may stumble, but he keeps us firm. Some days we may fall, he picks us up. Some days we may even break loose and go astray, but he waits patiently and still has his hand out waiting to welcome us back. In the end, though, we know this life journey does come to an end. That's a fact. But again, we don't look at that with fear. After all, Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has conquered suffering. He's conquered death. He's opened the gates of heaven. So we should not live in fear. We live in love each day. I think of Barbara Bush, who is one of the great first ladies of recent times. You know, she died this past April. The night before her death, she was in her hospital room. She was sipping a glass of bourbon, which is a great way to handle things. And she said, I have no fear of death. I'm a huge believer in a loving God. I know there is a great God. That's the attitude. Now, of course, when that final time comes, be it end of the world, be it today even, we know our poor physical being, this body, rests in death, but who we are, our immortal soul, goes back to God. As our Lord said, though, we will face a judgment, our particular judgment. we will have to give an accounting of our lives. If our Lord sees that our soul is filled with that sanctifying grace, and we have no sin, no venial sin, we have no hurt caused by sin, we'll be welcomed into heaven. There, we will behold the face of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There we'll be surrounded by all the angels and saints, and God willing, our loved ones who died in the faith. How beautiful that is. There, our faith will be fulfilled. What we've believed in will give way to a vision. Everything will be crystal clear. What we've hoped in, all those promises, will be fulfilled. The love that we have lived now with our Lord will be perfected, will be enwrapped in the love of God. That's heaven. As St. Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what God has prepared for those who love Him. If, though, we face our judgment, and we have those venial sins or hurts caused by sin, our Lord is just. He's also merciful. He knows we've loved Him. So He's first going to cleanse us, purify us, purge us in that place we call purgatory. Now, we don't find that word in sacred scripture, but we find the process. If we go back to the Old Testament, they use the image of the fire-tried gold. Our souls are going to be purified like gold. Well, I always wondered what that meant. I remember back in the year 2000, before actually coming out here to this parish, that I was with a group of students from Christendom College for a pilgrimage to the Holy Land in Rome. So we're walking through the old town of Jerusalem. There's many jewelry shops there, so we walked into this one. There was a goldsmith, and he had this gold nugget held between the forceps, and he was holding it in a Bunsen burner with that intense flame. So one of the students asked him, "What are you doing?" And the Jewish goldsmith said, "I'm burning out the impurities." And then the student said, "Well, how do you know when it's done?" And the goldsmith said, "When I can see myself in it." Good answer. And I thought, that's exactly what the Old Testament's talking about. God will purify us until He can see His image and likeness clearly in us. And when that happens, then we enter heaven. How long, we don't know. Exactly what it is, we don't know. But it's this cleansing process, and then we'll be welcomed into heaven. However, you and I have to be praying for the souls of those faithful departed, because through our prayers, we can help that healing process. This is why we have funeral masses. They aren't meant to be canonizations. They're meant to be praying for the repose of the soul. At that funeral mass, we are asking the Lord to pour forth from His sacred heart, just as He did from the cross, those graces of atonement that heal us. The Old Testament reminds us again that it is a good and holy action to pray for the dead and to offer sacrifices to atone for their sins. Granted, maybe the person we're praying for might already be in heaven. But if that's the case, then God in His love and mercy will use those good works and prayers to help a forgotten soul in purgatory. So it's important then for all of us to remember to pray for the repose of the souls of our faithful departed. Now with that, we can't forget there is a hell. People choose hell. Never forget that, because God doesn't want anyone in hell. But God doesn't force us to love Him either. God gave us an intellect, and He gave us a free will. So if a person chooses to reject God for whatever reason, if a person chooses to commit mortal sin and has no repentance of that sin, if a person chooses, "I don't want to pray, I don't want to share life with God, I don't want to go to church," and so on, "it's all about this world," well, God respects that. That choice was made here. So when life ends in this world, God says, "You made your choice, and now you have hell," because hell is the place of the absence of God. If you chose it here, you're going to choose it for eternity. And that, too, is part of justice, and it's part of love. because God doesn't force us to love Him. In hell, there's no change because, like a criminal, the person in hell blames God for being there. Doesn't blame himself for his sins. No, blames God, and so we have hell. But nevertheless, at the end time, just as sacred scripture says in our passages today, there will be the end time when Almighty God will come in. Jesus will be sent with all the angels, and Saint Michael will wield that sword of justice, separating the good from the bad, the just from the sinful. Now, those who are in heaven stay there. Those in purgatory will go to heaven. Those in hell, they're stuck in hell. But for those here now, the judgment comes, and they'll either go to heaven or they will go to hell. There will be the resurrection of the body. Now, that's not going to be Night of the Living Dead. It's not going to be Revenge of the Zombies. No, just as Jesus rose with a spiritualized body, so will we. We're a person, body and soul. So at that end time, we will be reunited with the body. If we're in heaven, that spiritualized body will be glorified, free of any defect, perfect, no suffering. But if the person is in hell, that body will face suffering, intense suffering. And so that's a little glimpse of what sacred scripture reveals to us. But again, it's not about living in fear. It's about living in love with the Lord. And that's what we're called to do. We're approaching the end of our liturgical year. Next Sunday's the Feast of Christ the King. So it's always a good time to look at our lives and say, well, how well am I living in union with the Lord? How well am I living in love with Him? And we could ask ourselves, if today were the last day, would I be ready? Now, we have to be careful of two errors. One error is this spiritual narcotic today of everyone who dies gets to go to heaven. It's not the case. Scripture is very clear about that. We face judgment. And again, there is a hell. But then, the other common error is this new kind of atheism. It's sort of like with some young people, I've heard, it's sort of like cool to be an atheist because of science and technology and so on. I remember having a conversation with a student once back at Marymount days, and he said to me, well, Father, how do you know you're right? I said, well, I believe Jesus tells me I'm right. He can't be wrong. But also, if I'm wrong, then it's not going to matter. When I die, I won't know the difference. But I can tell you right now that I'm very happy with my faith. I wouldn't give up my faith for anything. I wouldn't give up my church and the joy that brings me for anything. But I said, if you're wrong, being the atheist, you're going to be surprised when you end up in hell. Ha ha. So, think about it. What kind of bet do you want to place? Are you going to bet on Jesus, or are you going to bet on maybe hell? So, atheist, you might think you're right, but Jesus tells us you're wrong. And where do we go from here? Anyway, with all of that said, the key is to live in the love of the Lord, to truly live with Christ as the Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. For when we have Christ, no fear, but perfect love. May God bless you.